stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
And Janine Yunus, I keep telling the announcer and he keeps forgetting. So in any event, we're all here and hot off the presses, we have National Rifle Association of America versus VULO, which is one of the main First Amendment cases to come out of the Supreme Court this term. It is a 9-0 decision by Justice Sotomayor.
So a nice NCLA amicus victory.
Yes, exactly. And so... And so this is good news. But Murthy did not come out. They were thought of as companion cases, but perhaps there's more writing to do in that case. So in any event,
I thought you were going to say horse trading.
So in any event, I will just give my top five bullet points about it, and then we can discuss it. And that is, and particularly Janine, you helped write the amicus. Maybe we could talk about that, but. The main thing here is it's 9-0. It is a stunning reaffirmation of Bantam Books that nothing has changed in 60 years. Bantam Books, the government cannot go after a third party to suppress your speech using coercion. And so the fact that they didn't hedge, and none of them did, there was a concurrence by Gorsuch, a concurrence by Jackson. They all say Bantam Books is strong, it is vital, and it applies to this case.
And that was Sotomayor writing for the majority.
Correct.
Right? Or Sotomayor.
And Bantam Books was highly relied upon by Murthy as well. So good. Or as, and then the second
promising.
Yes, promising. Less promising are where they have and I'm hearkening back to the oral argument too. First, there's one other promising thing. My second bullet point: they said it didn't matter that VULO, in talking to the regulated insurance parties, because this was a case where the NRA had an insurance policy that violated New York law, and that was conceded. But she then went to the insurance companies and said, "You don't do business with them anymore." And her letter was very temperate and well-reasoned, and it used persuasion rather than coercion, which is not what we have in Murthy, and that did not matter. And it also did not matter that she did not make a direct threat or even refer to any investigation. None of that mattered for this, which I thought is very important to Murthy. That's the second bullet third bullet point for me. And then the last point on this, though, is
Said you had five, no, John.
I'm just going to go.
Number four can't be last.
I want to toss this to Janine. I've decided that this will be the Reader's Digest abridged version.
This
of
is like
my
an old Richard
points.
Epstein lecture. It I've got three true. Points. A, B. Now my next thing is. You're like, wait a minute. Okay.
So, the third point is that there is nothing in here. I didn't see anywhere, and you guys can disagree with me if you want. Talks about entanglement, government entanglement with the regulated party. None of it talks about that, which is big in Murthy. So,
there was entanglement here.
And I think there was.
You think that they're implicitly saying that entanglement is fine?
Yes,
is that,
they're all happy together here in the VULO case. But the fact that nobody mentions entanglement means to me that they were trying to get to 9-0's decision without a lot of back and forth and sniping. And so
There's one quote, though, that I thought was good and could bode well, which was this is a paraphrase here, but government officials are entitled to share their views and criticize others and do so forcefully in the hopes of persuading, quote, what they can't do, however, is use the power of the state to suppress or punish disfavored views.
That was my fourth point, quote. Well, very good. All right. See, I knew
it. Jumped out of both of you. Yeah.
So that could be, you know, something.
They didn't need to reach entanglement here in order to decide the case.
Yeah. So it did not.
Especially because this was at the preliminary stage.
It was at the motion to dismiss. So, yeah.
I shouldn't use preliminary. That's not the motion to dismiss.
Our case is at a preliminary injunction.
Yeah. Right.
I guess everybody at NCLA was really reading this to see what it meant for Murthy on its own terms.
Exactly. Well,
not a surprise, maybe, right? I mean, the oral argument seemed to be going against Vullo for the NRA. Yes. You were there, John.
Yes. So. Yeah. And so as was Janine, and I was right behind David Cole. And so things were looking good for him, I thought. And I thought he did a fine job as well. But
ACLU.
Of the ACLU. Yeah. And so and of Georgetown, professor there. But in any event, I do think that things went well. But I also think that this business of I wonder if there's not something here about the whole of government approach, because they have stressed in this opinion that you have to be the party, that you have to be the agency or have some control over the people you're threatening.
Right.
So the whole of government argument that has been made in Murthy maybe someone's taking aim at that.
Maybe. But I don't think it's dispositive because they talk about how it's having regulatory authority is one of the indications that this was coercive. But I don't know that we really have a decisive determination on whether that was the case here. I mean, the White House certainly has a lot of power over
the tech
companies.
So does the FBI.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, maybe they'll send it back for further fact-finding on whether those agencies or the White House have the kind of authority that,
right?
I don't know.
Something like that is where I was thinking. But I will say this: you've got a 9-0 decision. You've got very strong language on a number of cases that I've mentioned Bantam Books, but I also think there was another one here, and it's just escaping me.
I mean, Bantam Books is just cited all over here. It's basically like five times on every page and very little else. So that's.
Because maybe it was because in Jackson.
In her concurrence,
was talking about, here's what she says, that maybe whether and how government coercion of a third party might violate another party's First Amendment rights will depend on the facts of the case. And different circumstances, who is being coerced to do what and why, may implicate different First Amendment inquiries. Now, there's a fight with Gorsuch, because Gorsuch goes off on four-part tests. He doesn't like any of this stuff. He says there's just one question.
Abridgment?
Yes.
Is it really?
No, it isn't.
That would be great.
It is. It is actually, ultimately, the critical question is whether the plaintiff has plausibly alleged conduct that, viewed in context, could be reasonably understood to convey a threat of adverse government action in order to punish or suppress plaintiff's speech. So
no four-part test, but we can't have four separate independent clauses in one sentence?
Correct. That is correct. And actually, I did have hard – it seems to me they're saying the same thing to some extent there. But nonetheless, he does go off on the fact that and also, he did cite Axon Enterprises versus FTC.
You mean SEC v. Cochran?
Yes, I do. That's exactly what I mean. These tests, the courts explain, might serve as useful, though non-exhaustive, guide. But sometimes they might not. Compare Axon Enterprises, Inc. v. FTC. And then he cites Gorsuch concurring in judgment. So the fact is that he did cite a case that we were involved in another context. So I thought that was good.
So let me ask you guys this question, because you guys have both followed this case more closely than I have. When I was reading through here, it seemed like one of the things that jumped out at me was that they had really specific language of what Vullo had said to the companies that they could point to and say, this was the specific request or demand. And then you could really look at that language and decide if it was – and it was very specifically traceable to the – alleged conduct and so forth. And I'm wondering if that might be a distinction between here and Murthy, whether the justices are going to say, well, you need to have this kind of language directly from the regulator to the person who's doing the suppression. And if you don't have that, then you're not going to be able to prove it.
They did
that
say
could be a problem.
Threats don't need to be explicit. They can be implicit, although they say threats. So that's
But they say, I mean, and the good thing for us is Vulo didn't use any profanity, did not say to do anything right now, did not say that this is a priority, didn't do any of these things. I mean, I thought her actions were coercive as well, but I certainly thought that they were more measured and you know, not trying to instill fear.
Well, I don't know about that. It seemed more of the nice little insurance company you have there. It'd be a shame if something happened to it, kind of variety.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But the fact is it's less of a you know, do this right now or else.
Right.
Well, that's a little bit of a problem with this, you know, regulatory authority requirement. I mean, in a way, if the government is kind of using for authority it actually doesn't have, but kind of, you know, at least wielding its
apparent authority
to scare the companies, that seems even, in a way, it's almost more improper because they actually.
although remember in Bantam Books, the commission didn't have actual authority.
Right.
And the question was whether or not the person receiving the threat thought that they did or would have reasonably believed that they did.
So I think it would be a big mistake for them to find that the, you know, technically having a lack of regulatory authority is a dispositive.
Yeah, obviously I agree with that. But we have a few seconds here. I think that we got to be happy with this decision, right?
Sure, yeah. It would be much worse if it came out the other way.
Yeah, or if this were a 5-4. If this were a 5-4, I'd be really worried about
exactly
the rest of the First Amendment.
Right.
But they
reaffirmed that they remembered viewpoint discrimination is bad. So there's a quote to that effect. So.
That is true. Nobody here was for viewpoint discrimination. So we have to.
I wasn't sure after the Murthy argument, to be honest.
Yeah, right. I'm with you on that.
So in any event, so Vulo is out and on May 30th, and so let's see the distance between Vulo and Murthy, and when it comes out, we'll tell you about it. Be right back.